Roosters fans, welcome to this week's episode of Roosters Radio. And Silky, we've talked about it on air, off air. And I tell you what, it was a game of two halves, the classic cliche, as you say. How did you sum it up Friday night?
Really easy, Bush. The first half was a bludger. I mean, lucky I was listening to it on the radio myself. I nearly had to pull over a couple of times when they kept scoring. If I was in front of a TV, I probably would have threw something at it. But I got home for the second half and I was proud of the effort, yeah. You know, but the first half
mixed
was diabolical.
Emotions. Mixed emotions.
I mean, I know the Easter show's not at the moment, Bush, and they've been playing out there at Acor, but it was like being on a roller coaster. You're absolutely right. The way that they were able to turn it around in the second half, like it was something to behold. 11 players on the field. The way they attacked, I'm sure we can touch on that a bit as well. But look, the first half was just, it was un-Rooster-like.
There were some standouts. Look, they've been breaking our hearts since the 80s, you know, and Steve Gearing gets that try, you know, in the grand final there. You know, they broke our hearts. They had their 2004 grand final winning team.
Oh, imagine them at halftime.
Oh, they come to play, you know what I mean? And look, good luck to them. And I think that we just got out of the blocks, just got blown off the park. You know, it was like watching a Rocky movie for them. They come out, they wanted to impress their whole kennel, and they did. Drop balls, mistakes, it was riddled with all that. We know it was all
their defense was poor, Bush.
In fact, I got onto Unibet and had a live in-game bet. You know, man, I'm not a punter, but I wanted to test it out. And here's the interesting thing is, you know, we were coming home. I just had a feeling that halftime Robbo wasn't going to accept that as a standard. I think the players themselves, they know their job and they wouldn't have been really happy with their performance. There was a lot of frustration. Even Teddy, you know, that tackle, it reeked of Mike Acevo a couple of years ago. And I just don't – Teddy's been playing so well and just sort of summed up our first half. Second half, though, we come out, we're Teddy-less. We're Sam Walkerless.
Dom Young.
Dom Young got sent off. And I thought to myself, you know what? They're going to rise here. And rise they did.
Well, Bush, it's funny because when you watched Robbo in the change room at halftime, like, I thought he was going to go ballistic. Like, I thought he would have been, you know, really hopping into him. I know I was. But he was very calm. He was very measured. And I saw him talking to Luke Keary, you know, pulled him aside. And he just basically, I guess, talked to Luke in particular about how he wanted to play. So, you know, they played a lot more direct. They went through the middle. They scored some great tries. I love that try, Joey Manu's. Like, that was a great try, that outside-inside pass. And look, they, for all intents and purposes, they looked like they were going to steal it, didn't they?
Mate, I told you, that's why I got on Unibet at $61. I just got a feeling our boys don't give up. And, you know, we got to have the pleasure of talking to Friendy tonight, our, you know, former captain and our great hooker there who's going to give us a bit of an insight from a player's perspective. We never try to be experts here. We're not experts on Roosters Radio. I just love the heart we showed. It was such a mixed emotion. Like, you know, you yell at the TV and throw things when we watch footy together. First half, you're down on your dumps and you don't want to bet and you're going to soccer. Second half, mate, you pulled out your ball boy uniform and run around the house looking for romance. So, you know what I mean? It really was a spectacular roller coaster, as you call it.
It was, mate. It was. Yeah. It was a roller coaster of emotions.
Thank God I wasn't there tossing the salad. I can tell you that right now, you know, because we've gone high protein here at the Roosters.
Yeah, that's exactly
Curtis
right.
Lewis Deggles.
Speaking of high protein, Bush, we're going to go to a break. But when we come back, we're going to be speaking to one of our favourite players, the Mercurial, Jake Friend. You're on Roosters Radio, and we'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to Roosters Radio fans, and Silky, of course, you mentioned it, one of our all-time favourites. I know he's a Roosters fan favourite. Welcome, Jakey Friend.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
Jakey, we'll touch on the coaching and the great job you're doing with our Roosters of the Future in a minute, but you are our resident expert today. We want to talk about, from your perspective, last Friday night's game, such a game of two halves, such mixed emotions. How did you see it?
Probably just like that. I thought it was disappointing to start the game like that. You know, I think Roosters sort of pride themselves on starting fast and, yeah, we sort of got jumped, I think. But then, like everyone watching the second half, like I believe we put ourselves in a position to go and win a game, yeah, which didn't happen. But, you know, there was some fight there and I suppose if we can, as a team, those boys can get that happening for some part of the first half or the start of the game and come out and, you know, go after a team like they did in the second half, you know, then they might go and put some scores on some teams.
So, Jake, let me ask you, as someone who's bled for this club, when you get ambushed like that, what are you thinking?
It's tough. You know, momentum in a game is really hard to swing. It is, you know, it's the best teams can do it, and that's why they're the best teams. It's a tough thing of footy, but the halftime actually is, you know, a killer in times like that. But both ways, I've been on the back end of both, you know, where you're humming along and you think you're going to come out and score another 30 and you'll put them away and go and have a couple of beers and be happy as a Larry.
The Cowboys come to mind.
Yeah. And then on the flip side, you go, just get me to halftime because I feel like rubbish. And, you know, you sit down, Rob has his chat, you have a chat with the boys and you go, right, hey, let's just get back to basics and off you go. And it all starts to, you know, work again, and then the momentum swings in your favour, and it's, yeah. I believe it's a massive part of footy, yeah.
So you've captained the side. When you're pulling the boys in behind the goalpost, this is what fascinates me. When you're leaking points like that, and we're hanging on there at the end, and then they score just before half time, what do you say to the players?
I think setting up periods is important. So, like, next five sets, like, let's. Don't worry about anything else. Let's just nail, you know, let's nail this, or even less if you've been there two or three times before. It might just be, let's nail this defensive set and an attacking set, kick it back to them. Details about that, but otherwise, like, yeah, I've definitely had days as well where you're like, nothing really else to say back here. We're here again. Like, let's not be here again. And yeah, sometimes, yeah, less is more as well. It's just like, boys, it's not good enough and let's go now. Yeah, so.
Freddie, must be like, you know, you're so close to the playing group, you know, you're coaching and bringing that next Roosters through. You must be really proud, though, of, you know, we're teddyless, we've got no Sam Walker, we've got no Dom Young, and then Victor goes to the bin and we just seem to be on the up. Like, we're playing, you know, third on 11, and the performance like that, less Roosters fans just so perplexed because you wanted to sort of, you know, you were frustrated going, oh, first half, shit, you know? And then second half, you go, geez, I can't knock that performance. You walk around, you're still proud on Saturday morning, putting your Roosters top on, going, mate, that was great.
Yeah, 100%. And I, you know, I think I haven't seen too many games of recent times where, like, a Roosters team's been completely dominated. The pride in the jersey just doesn't allow that. I think that's what we saw. You know, that they came out, they didn't get what they wanted in the start of the game, but they, yeah, backs against the wall, you know, 12 men, 11 men. Yeah, they just went after it. And, you know, it gives you, like, a buzz to go, righto, well, if they can do that in a pouring rain on a yucky Friday night where they started, like, rubbish, yeah, maybe they'll, you know, there's plenty there for them to go after in the coming weeks.
What does Jake Friend, the coach, learn from a game like that?
I do lots of video, I reckon, probably. you know, I think those games are important too, because you can go and look at stuff, and sometimes it's just a lot of the time I think it's just real basic stuff. It's like your system, and why didn't you do that? Why didn't we do this? Why were we off? And you just thought, it actually comes back to being the little things, and that's what wins games usually. The footy part, they can turn on and off whenever they want. Most teams, and definitely, you know, this Roosters team, when they want to go and score points, they can go and do that. It's the little things in and around all the big stuff that generally gets you in trouble.
Well, mate, we brought you in here because your team, the SG Ball, got the week off, undefeated, heading into the finals. So on behalf of all Roosters, congratulations. This is your first foray into head coaching. How's it been?
Yeah, no, it's been really enjoyable. There's obviously, I think I've got about eight to 10 blokes that I've coached throughout the academy in, you know, the last couple of years. And then, yeah, it just happened that, you know, the older age of the Ball now with the younger age Mats that we've been working with, and great bunch of boys, you know, from the start of preseason and all the way through, I've just constantly sort of gone after them and challenged them, and but they literally have just done it. Like they're just a good crew of boys. They just get after it, and I'm sure it hurts, but they whinge here and there. But they haven't really missed a beat with, you know, me asking something of them and them going and doing it. So it's been, yeah, it's been cool to you know, see them progress, and then obviously to go and finish the season 9-0 is really good, but yeah, it means nothing if you don't go and finish the job, I suppose.
Randy, you know, young Roosters coming through, the mindset's a little bit different. You're preparing them for first grade. Is there a subtle adjustment to how you coach them, something that Robbo would say to you? Are you able to say it to a young player coming through like that? Is it still, you know, across the board the same as rugby league, or is it a bit more difficult as a coach to communicate that message?
I just do it in my way, which is the way I sort of liked it. I know that some blokes are different and probably don't take, you know, I'm pretty straight up and down, whether it's coaching or anything. It's if I like something you did, I'll tell you. If I don't, I'll tell you as well. So then there's no blurred lines or bullshit. It's just, this is what I think, and or this is the system. You know, that's the easiest way, is that we have a system, we have a way we play. I'm not having a crack at you. I'm having a crack at why you didn't do our system. So that's probably the way I go around, rather than, yeah, it's never personal. Yep. No, like, I think every player wants to play the perfect game, and no one ever sort of gets to it. Yeah, so there's going to be mistakes, but it's like, if it's a system error, then well, why? Like, why did that happen? Or did you know it, not know? Or do we need to work on it? That sort of stuff. Yeah. That's probably where I go to, rather than just, yeah, hammering a bloke.
I find that really fascinating, Friendy, because, you know, you're not that far removed from the game, but obviously playing and coaching are two different things, and you've been coached by some pretty amazing coaches, you know, throughout your career. I remember we interviewed Brett Morris a few weeks back. I asked him kind of the same question. Of all those coaches, are there certain traits that you've picked up from a Wayne Bennett or a Trent Robinson that you're trying to bring into your own style? I mean, you're still honing your craft. You're only early days, but is there stuff you've learned throughout your own career that you remembered and think, you know, I'm going to try that? And I mean, are you one of these trainers to get roll the sleeves up and get into the contact stuff as well? What is your style?
I don't know if I really know that yet. I sort of obviously been under Robbo for so long and playing the style of footy that we've played for that period, that's a big chunk of, you know, what I'm trying to instill. And obviously because I want these guys to develop, you know, up to Robbo and go and be able to fill spaces in years to come there and know exactly what, you know, our system is and how we want to play the game. So I think, you know, the Roosters style is a big part of my coaching. But there is obviously, you know, I think Robbo's, just even with the stuff he does outside of the game and or training, and just the broad
man management and all that kind
man
of stuff.
Management, even just like you ask him a question about anything, or he's just life experience, and you know, things that he goes and tries and does, and you know, I think that part's important. It's just not all footy. Like, what else can you offer some young dudes opportunity? Whether it, yeah.
You know, something at Friendly Plumbing or?
Well, nah, I'm trying to keep the boys away from that. I'd rather be in here playing footy. So, yeah. But, yeah, no, I just think, yeah, that, like, so being a obviously a good footy player, but then can I offer up, you know, some sort of advice or an opportunity that they wouldn't have got outside of footy or yes.
Speaking of opportunities, Friendy, you know, you were part of the initial concept of the academy. Silky and I had the pleasure of being over there in Spain and France, where the whole idea had been, you know,
genesis.
The genesis of it. It's been a real success. How would you sum up the academy so far to date, having that house and what a great concept it is for Roosters of the future?
Obviously, we had a couple of guys debut. I think that there's a bunch of boys that, you know, I'm coaching now in the SG Ball and that are in those apartments that I believe are big chances of playing for the Roosters. And if they don't play here, I believe they'll play elsewhere. So, yeah, you know, I wouldn't say it's to where we want it to be, but I definitely think, you know, we've created something pretty cool, being a player that came from interstate, you know, to be able to come into that house and then, you know, get this – the extra support and training and everything that those boys are being provided with. Like, it's easy to go, yeah, whatever. And as a young fella, like, I know I would have been going, oh, whatever, you know, I deserve this, but carrying on a bit. But, yeah, those boys have got it really well. And to be honest, they're a really respectful bunch that they don't take it for granted. You know, you have your little moments, but as a whole, like most of the blokes that have come through those apartments, even the ones that are not there now, you see them around and, yeah, they're respectful, like men, and shake your hand and say good day. And, yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Friendy, I think most of the people that listen to the podcast, they probably don't have a true understanding of what the academy is. We know there's accommodation, but there's also a lot of training and mentoring and the other stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You mind just shining a light on, you know, with these young blokes, whether they come from interstate or from over in New Zealand or the Pacific, that they arrive at the Rooster House, and what's a day look like, for example, or what are some of the opportunities they do get as being part of the academy?
Yeah, you know, I think so obviously the living, yep, so they're apartments in Kingsford, yep, you know, that have been renovated. They've got everything they need. They've got house parents that cook for them. The food is all done, like fresh produce. They get packs to help them learn to cook, but then they also get, you know, meals cooked for them on the big training nights.
The Mincat gets involved.
Yeah,
in
the Mincat's in there with, yeah, bone broths and all that. So that they're getting, yeah, sort of the stuff that, you know, I probably got it when I was 24, 25. Right. They're getting it now. Like, right, this is how to be a professional away from the game. And then training-wise, so we get them mornings, Tuesday, Thursday in season. And then we might get them Monday, Tuesday, Thursday post the junior rep season, depending if they go off to flag and whatnot.
But they're at school as well, right?
They're either at school or they have to, yeah. So another thing of being in there, you have to either study, work, or you're at school. So there's a couple of boys in there doing, one's doing psychology, one's, yeah, some smart dudes in there, engineering, yeah. I think I've retired a few psychologists, actually. Couldn't work me out and just threw it in. So, but, yeah, so some of the boys, yeah, they're, you know, that's a NRL-wide thing. If you're playing junior reps, you got to work or study. So, but, yeah. We're giving them extra training in the morning, giving them the Roosters way probably before they get to Robbo, so that they walk in, they know the basics, how we train, how we do things, our calls. And then hopefully that means that, you know, if they start a preseason, we're not spending 2-3 weeks getting them up to a level. It's just bang, roll in, and, yeah, they can sort of hit the ground running.
Friendy, this SG Bullside, 9-0. You know, is a great achievement, but as you rightfully said, it means nothing if we don't go on with it. You've got some pretty special players, and Roosters the future. We've got a few names to look forward to as Roosters fans. One thing we used to love, the all three grades, you'd go and see someone in 23s, next minute you see it happen with you. See him in first, geez, I like this guy, and then all of a sudden you're in first grade, then you're our captain. It's a great thing for fans to see. What have we got to look forward to?
Yeah, mate, I think there's a bunch of guys, you know, there's some dudes that have been in the academy that I spoke about. Toby Rodwell's one that's been through, he's a third year halfback that, you know, still at school, but we scrimmaged the NRL today, and he's a guy that sort of every level you put him in, he doesn't look out of place. So, yeah, that was cool to watch.
His old man obviously played at the Steelers and finished at South.
Yeah, good player.
Yep. So, you know, he's one. Blake Steep, another one that I think just re-signed as well, which is really good. Come through our grades, was on Central Coast in our academy there.
Central Coast Rooster.
And then came down and has continued with the academy, and now he's a development player. So those two, there's a bunch of other guys, Jake Elliott.
Well, I'm hearing big things, young Ethan Roberts.
Ethan Roberts, another
shout
guy.
It's
been there for a couple of years. You know, there's a group of boys that have sort of played either Harold Matz and now SG Ball, but, you know, played together for a few years and then trained all together as an academy for, you know, 3 years, which is, yeah, hopefully going to show some benefits later on.
And local kids too, like Pom's in and around, you know, Sydney area. I know Cade McGuire. His old man Shooter's a great fan of the show and born and raised here in Roostertown. So it's good to see We've been criticised over the years of, you know, bringing a lot of juniors into our system, but we've actually starting to develop our own, which is fantastic.
Another one, Zach Safadi, who's a fullback and grew up in Randwick. So, yeah, it's, you know.
Mighty Paddo Colt, Zach Safadi.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
From my academy.
Yeah.
Harry's Cafe de Wheels.
he does. Oh, if he eats him, he's got a better rig than you. he's ripped. There's a great bunch of boys. So, as I said earlier, like when you go and, ask some stuff of these boys that, maybe I did, but maybe I just pushed them a little bit harder than what I did to see if they could do it. And
we can go back in time, friendly, and listen, it's public knowledge. You made a couple of errors as on your trajectory up, you learn from your mistakes. What you're basically doing is saying, boys, don't make the same mistakes I did, right?
Yeah, I've heard, I've probably given all the excuses in the world back in the day. So when I hear them, I'm like, mate, what really happened while we're here or what happened? So
they're not going to bullshit you.
Yeah, no, mate. You know that. Yeah, if someone didn't tell me they saw them, I'll probably, see through the bullshit anyway with the dud stories that they come up with.
And, mate, with the week off, a chance to rest, chance to look at the opposition. Para v Bulldogs, both strong sides. Who do you think you'll be playing next week?
Oh, it's a tough one. I think both have had they're both in form, particularly later in the season. I think they went on some runs of maybe three or four wins in a row. So the Bulldogs team's probably it's got some strike, but the Para team just keeps sort of turning up and getting wins, and it's actually been a really good comp. There's the top eight were to 10 were fighting out for those last six positions right up until final round. So it's been, obviously it's good to have a week off, and we can get some extra training into the boys, and hopefully that'll benefit going into next weekend. With a little top up and then being able to also freshen up for a normal week into a game. To be honest, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, we'll obviously all go and watch it, and the boys are all probably going to go and watch it. But, 9-0 is great, but if you go out in the first week of finals, it's sort of like, whatever.
And just personally, mate, your preparation game day, do you get nervous as a coach? Is it different for player v coach?
A little bit. It's a different nerve because you're like, have I given them everything? And the probably the other nervous part is that I can't do anything now. Like that, even if they start bad or you forgot to give them something or whatever, you think about that, but then as a player you could just go and I forgot that and stuffed it up, but I can go and make up for that. Whereas a coach, you're just sitting in the box going, that's my fault, and I can't go and help them or fix it.
I know what might have to change, Silky and Friendly, is after a win, and we're expecting to win, is the celebration. It would change from your day, I think, the way the boys celebrate, so it would be.
They would probably
been a few more protein shakes than they'd have these days, I suppose.
Yeah, protein shakes, and they go home and play Fortnite and PS5, I think, which I'm not going to go into.
That was a nightclub on Oxford Street, wasn't it? In the old days. So, friendly off the field.
Luckily, these boys are actually, I don't know if they know all my indiscretions, so I might not even go to all.
Let's not touch on it for them, just in case. Friendly off the field, how are you relaxing? How are you getting away? You got the young family, got the business.
Yeah, it's been busy, but it is what it is. I'd probably prefer to be busy than sitting around twiddling my thumbs. So, but yeah, two young kids now, a little boy that's three and a girl that's just about turn one. So most of downtime is not downtime. It's just running around after them. But they're mad. So I'm loving that, and whatever else I can get nine holes in or a surf, I'll go and do that. But pretty well at the moment, it's work, footy, and the kids, which is good as well.
And with the recent storm last week, the Dogs got a hold of us. Plenty of houses are leaking and stuff. They've only got to call Friendly Plumbing, right?
Plenty of roof leaks last week, so yeah, we're always around. So,
Roosters fans, you know what to do. Call Friendly Plumbing. Jake, we want to say thanks so much, mate. You've been a great part of our show for many years as a player, now as a coach. We love spending time with you. Good insights. We want to wish you the best. 9-0 is a huge achievement, but we're right with you all the way to the GF. And thank you so much for spending time with us.
Cheers, boys. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready? Yeah!
Welcome back to Roosters Radio and Bush. A refreshing chat with an old friend, Jake Friend.
Pardon the pun there, Sylvie.
Yeah, mate. Yeah.
Look, really relaxed. He's really,
isn't he?
He's really moved into, I think he's morphed into the role of coach, and I reckon he's really enjoying it. You can just sort of see that his level of comfort, like his insights, he's maturing. He's a father of two. You know, we loved him as a player.
Do you think he's getting on the mats when they're doing the wrestling sessions? I'm sure he is.
I think the only thing he's worried about is a head knock at training. That's all he's got to worry about because he likes to get involved, mate. And I think that, like, having a player like him for our young SG ball players and our academy players, not only coaching but mentoring.
Oh, absolutely.
He's got so much life experience, right? Good, bad or different. Friend, he's a character. And all that know him well know what a great guy he is underneath all those tattoos and that muscle is a great man.
I couldn't agree more. Now, Bush, Thursday night, we are heading up the M1, McDonald Jones Stadium, to take on the Knights. They had a big win against the Dragons there last week in the quagmire up there. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think they've hit a bit of form, but I think what Friendy said at the start of our show, if our boys can bottle what they did in the second half, they can take from when they sat down with Robbo at halftime. I think he showed some composure from what we hear and see. I think that they took out onto that field an attitude and pride in the jersey. I think we can take that up to McDonald Jones Stadium, and I think we can put it over the Knights. I don't think it's going to be a big score, if I'm honest. I think it's going to be a bit of an arm wrestle. It's always been a good game. They seem to have hit some form. So I'm going to call it, Silky, Roosters 14, Knights 10. Kick to come.
Well, Bush, look, there's wholesale changes to our lineup, obviously, with injury and suspension. So Junior Ponga moves onto the wing. Obviously, Connor jumps into the halves. And, of course, Michael Jennings will be playing his 300th game, which is definitely worth congratulating. Also worth noting, Zach Docker-Clay will be making his first grade debut for the club. So that's exciting for Zach and his family.
Absolutely, Silky. You see the joy that the players get, you know, when they make their debut and rallies around.
So there's been a fair bit of movement. Look, one thing that did impress me against the Bulldogs last Friday night was Angus Crichton running straight and hard and getting a quick play of the ball. Look, the blueprint was there for all to see last week when they just started running straight and hard and started tackling hard. Like, it's that simple. Football's a pretty simple game.
Well,
they just need to channel that effort and energy from the second half and make sure they start like that. If they start like that, I can't see us getting beat, but they have to start stronger. That's as simple as that.
Well, we won 24-8 in the second half. If we can do that over two.
Well, down a player, sometimes down two. So, I mean, like I said, Luke Keary directed the attack well. He straightened the attack. I think we just played more direct. We're getting that Butcher back. Like, he did 65 tackles the week before. He was a big loss out there on the fringes.
Big congratulations to Natty for Roosters Radio fans, and we had lots of inquiry. Natty had
baby
a baby
boy.
Last week.
Baby boy, little Bo.
Yeah, little Bo Butcher, which is big congratulations to his lovely wife and himself. So on behalf of Roosters fans, well done. So, Silky, on that note, give me a score prediction.
Sure thing, Bush. Roosters 24, Newcastle 12.
Wow, I like it.
Well, Bush, it's that time again each and every week, courtesy of our friends at Unibet. It's your turn this week, mate. Who are you having your $50 on?
Yeah, Silky, I've gone a little bit exotic. I'm going to go Roosters 1-6. In the margin.
Okay.
Because I think it's going to be a tight game. I think the, you know, Knights have hit a little bit of form. I think we're sort of coming into a bit of form from our, you know, blockbuster start in Vegas. So Roosters 1-6. It's at the time of recording this podcast, it's at $6.25 for our fans. Bit of value.
Well, that's it for this episode of Roosters Radio. We'd like to thank our very special guest, the one and only Jake Friend. You've been listening to Roosters Radio, East to Win.
East know how to play the game, they play it hard and fair. These boys who show the way.